It is time for DC Current, presented by LABI. LABI is your state's Chamber of Commerce, the Louisiana Association of Business and Industry. I'll be actually be having lunch over at Lobby today. If you want to learn more about them, if you are a business owner, specifically a small business owner, who's speaking on your behalf out of the state capitol, that would be Lobby. Check them out at lobby.org. Right now, Congressman Garrett Graves joins us. Congressman, good morning. How are you, sir? Where's he at?
Hello?
There he is. Congressman Graves, how are you, sir?
Hello.
Yes. Put me in offline. I don't think he can hear me. There we go. You hear me now?
Yeah. Hey,
all right,
how
there
you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you this morning?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thanks.
We got a lot to cover. I mean, everything from, you know, the FAA to the VA clinic and whatnot, some things we touched on last week. But there's no way I don't start this morning off without talking about Luke Letlow. An honor bestowed upon him, the post office being named after him. Just wanted to gather your thoughts.
Yeah, look, this is just what an amazing story. You had a guy who just really committed much of his life to public service, gave up a lot of opportunity for him and his family to really get back to Louisiana, and had this amazing heart for small towns, and really just wanted to lift those towns up, those towns that are often forgotten, the towns that many people, even born and raised in Louisiana, hadn't heard of. And Luke, of course, was from the town of Start, Louisiana, up in the northeastern part of the state. And he very tragically died at the age of 41 after he had been elected to Congress, but before he had actually taken the oath of office or sworn in. And it was somewhat mixed feelings. I'd known Luke for many years and had the chance to work with him, and just a spectacular guy. The thing is that I have no doubt, Brian, that if Luke had been able to serve in Congress and been able to fulfill his term, and I'm sure many others, that I think that he would have left greatness in Louisiana, and we would have named a lot of things after him in Louisiana. We named a post office after him, mm-hmm. because of his early death and departure. And so now I guess he's making his mark on heaven. It is just an amazing story, a great man, a great loss to us in Louisiana. And of course, you know, the rest of the story, his wife, Julia, very courageously, bravely, and just garnered this strength from somewhere that I just superhuman strength to step up and run and fulfill his term, and trying to fulfill his, I think, mission and vision, as well as defining her own for the northeastern part of the state. So Rayville Post Office is now named going to be named after Luke Letlow.
He was always, so when I knew him, he was always the guy behind the guy, right? I was a little bit surprised when he actually ran, because I was like, yeah. You're so good at what you do behind the scenes. It's like, Congressman, we're up there for Washington Mardi Gras, and I get to work hand-in-hand with your team. You've got an awesome team, and that's kind of how Luke was before, just that you know, hustle without thanks.
Yeah, we do have a great team, and I think that Luke's style is very much embodied in the team that we have, and that it's, you know, put your head down, work. It is you worked, and everything we do is working to – trying to stay focused on solving problems and not get caught up in all the other junk that occurs often and jobs like this, and certainly in this crazy climate of Congress.
Definitely taken too soon, but he will always, always be loved, for sure. We got Congressman Garrett Graves with us. This is DC Current, presented by the Louisiana Association of Business and Industry. All right, we kind of have to pick up where we left off last week, Congressman, talking about the FAA. This is getting closer to coming to fruition.
There's nothing like a deadline to force Congress to work. Brian, just to remind folks, back in June of last year, the House of Representatives passed a very strong, broad-based bill related to the Federal Aviation Administration. This bill, despite the chaos in Congress, passed with a strong bipartisan vote. It was 351-69. A huge, huge bipartisan vote, and this bill did a lot of things that I think the average flyer will notice. Things like improving the technology that's used to manage our air traffic control system, which means more on-time flights, which means more efficiency, less circling up in the air, putting stronger protections in there for the passenger experience, thinking about everything that a passenger, that a family goes through, from pulling up to the parking lot, checking bags, checking in, going through security, that whole experience, including giving, I think, better consumer protections to travelers, everything from refunds and credits and making sure that airlines are treating folks fairly, remembering reminding the airlines that these travelers are customers, and ensuring that they're being treated appropriately. Again, giving the consumers the appropriate balance of power and rights that they deserve. General aviation, helping to improve how we manage and handle our small private airports, ensuring that new technology like drones and advanced aviation systems can have the right regulatory environment to operate in, so where this innovation is occurring in the United States, including right in our own HOMA airport, as opposed to happening in Australia, New Zealand, the Middle East, and other places that are trying to get ahead and take this aviation advantage away from the United States. So a lot of good things in there, but the problem is we passed the bill back in June. The Senate only passed the bill out of the Senate committee in February. We have been negotiating since February with them. Lots of frustration with dealing with the Senate, but I think we are within striking distance now. The problem is that the FAA's current legal authority expires on May 10th. So if we don't have this thing done by Friday, there's trouble.
What does that look like?
Well, you know, Brian, look, I said at the opening, there's nothing like a deadline to force Congress to work, and oftentimes it really does sort of require some type of backstop in order to get Congress to do its job. It's interesting because in this case, there is nothing really partisan going on at this point.
Right.
It is more so the House being frustrated with the Senate, the House collectively being frustrated with the Senate. And so it's everything from, I'll tell you the main thing, Brian, is that the Senate is trying to add non-germane things, meaning things that have nothing to do with aviation, onto this bill, rather than keeping it a aviation bill as the House did, one subject matter, one topic, and trying to solve the problems in that space, making it better for the flying public. And the Senate's trying to add all sorts of non-germane things to this bill.
Single topic legislation. I know this is one of your pet peeves. I'm not going to send you down that rabbit hole.
Yep. It gets frustrating sometimes.
We're looking at 2 days from now. So we should see action very soon.
The Senate is trying to basically use their rules to force action or force votes in the Senate. The problem is folks who are wanting to add some of these non-aviation or non-germane things to the bill, they're using tactics to try and stop it, block it, or slow it down. And so what that does is that puts the Senate on a collision course with effectively causing the FAA to shut down and putting aviation safety and things like that at risk. Obviously, we want to get this bill done as quickly as possible. We think we've negotiated a good bill, including a handful of additional changes that the Senate has proposed through amendment that we're actually okay with, mm-hmm. including one that we had drafted in the House and ran into some procedural and time problems, and handed that over to the Senate. And I think that that we're going to end up adopting that one, so we end up getting a win anyway.
Okay. Take them where you can get them.
That's right.
Congressman, I want to make sure I have time for one more topic before we're all done here today. But a lot of what we talked about with this FAA bill is about everyone as a whole, about the passenger experience and all that. Can you give me about 60 to 90 seconds on a Louisiana-only perspective here?
Sure. So there are a number of things in there. Number one, there's an airport that that they're trying to build in Livingston Parish, and that airport ran into some problems, and it not being allowed to be a federal airport, we've got provisions in there that fix that. I mentioned earlier that you've got all of this incredible new technology using drones, using advanced aviation systems to where, you know, including systems that are pilotless and autonomous. This technology is amazing. In many cases, it exists today. They have folks that are getting deliveries from Walmart, six states across the United States where you can have products delivered to your house through a driver, or you can get it within 30 minutes to an hour, having drone delivery right there off your phone and have it delivered 30 minutes to an hour to your house, and making sure we have the right right regulatory structure, the right rules in place to facilitate that, ensuring that what's known as the Airport Improvement Program, ensuring that we increase investment in our airports, making sure that our important airports like Baton Rouge Airport, New Orleans Airport, Lafayette Airport, making sure that they're getting additional investment to improve, once again, that passenger experience, helping to facilitate the flights, new technology, new aircraft, and making sure that the experience inside the terminal is a pleasant one, making sure that we're investing in new technology to help better manage air traffic. Look, everybody, Brian, you, me, everybody who's listening has had a bad experience at some point, either flying yourself or picking up a relative or whatever, in terms of the flight's supposed to land at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, you're still waiting, the plane's circling. And so using much newer technology to better manage that airspace is really important. We make specific investments in rural airports. We allow for new testing sites for new types of aircraft technology, including over the Gulf of Mexico, including, as I mentioned earlier, the Houma Airport. But the main thing is trying to reestablish or trying to provide better, rights or an experience for passengers to where they're not mistreated in this whole process. Because the problem is you may have airports, you may have TSA, you may have airlines, all these different entities that are dealing with a consumer, but the consumer is the one common thread in that experience. We're trying to improve it from the beginning of the experience to the end, ensuring that people are treated fairly, they have the best technology, and the most efficient and predictable experience possible.
Before I get you out of here, I got to ask about redistricting. I feel like at this point, from your perspective, you got to feel like a player in a ball game with an infinitely long instant replay going on.
Brian, look, I have faith at the end of the day that the right thing's going to happen. As you and I have discussed in the past, to come into the Capital Region and try and slice and dice it up into four different congressional districts, one based in Shreveport down to the Baton Rouge Ascension area, the other one going to Monroe to the Baton Rouge Livingston Ascension area, one going around Livingston around the North Shore to Metairie in New Orleans, the mouth of the Mississippi River, and a fourth district going from North Baton Rouge down to New Orleans. Come on. I mean, these four districts splitting up our region, all it does is it divides up our power, divides up our voice in the Capital Region. It's not good for our region. And I'm confident that the court already has taken the right step in righting a wrong, fixing an injustice, making sure that our voters have a true voice. And I'm confident that by the end of this process, which looks like it'll be about another 3 to 4 weeks, that we're going to have a rational map. And that's all that we're asking for, is that we're treated fairly, meaning the Capital Region, the South Louisiana region is treated fairly, that we have rational maps that are constitutional, and that's it. I think it's a pretty simple request, and I'm confident that at the end of the day we'll get there.
He is Congressman Garrett Graves. We call it DC Current, presented by the Louisiana Association of Business and Industry. Congressman, I always appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Brian, thank you. Have a good week.
You do the same.